You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire.
Amid the 80th session of the UN General Assembly, a growing number of nations, including Western allies such as the United Kingdom, Australia, and France, have announced their recognition of a Palestinian state. These moves have intensified pressure on our own Foreign Minister Winston Peters to follow suit. But with Israel's war on Gaza now into its second year and the Palestinian death toll surpassing 65,000, many Palestinians, experts, and advocates have argued that recognition alone is not enough. They've described it as a symbolic, at best, measure, and instead call for stronger international pressure on Israel, such as sanctions and arms embargoes. Meanwhile, the very notion of a two-state solution is being challenged, with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vowing to expand annexation and settlement in the West Bank in retaliation against the countries that have announced their support for Palestine. I spoke with Dr. Ritesh Shah, a senior lecturer in critical studies in education at the University of Auckland, to discuss why the current wave of countries recognizing Palestine is seen as largely symbolic, and what more meaningful steps the international community should take instead. The United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, and a number of other countries have recently announced their recognition of a Palestinian state at the UN General Assembly this week, and there is also mounting pressure on our own Foreign Minister Winston Peters to announce New Zealand's recognition of Palestine as well. Will this have any real impact on the situation on the ground, or is this mainly just a symbolic gesture?
At the moment, this is a symbolic gesture, and in fact, the whole idea of a two-state solution in many ways is a symbolic gesture at this point in time. And it's not that the two-state solution is dead just because of what's happened in Gaza over the last 2 years, but it's really over the last 50 years, to be honest. If we look at what's happened since 1967, the two-state solution has been systematically undermined by Israel's desire to control the whole of the land between the River Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea under the guise of national security. So, you know, we look at the rapid expansion of settlements across Palestinian-controlled territory, where today 750,000 settlers are living in parts of East Jerusalem and the West Bank. The fact that Palestinians don't have access to their own natural resources, such as water, natural gas, and agricultural land. Palestine doesn't have any control of its external borders, which means it has no opportunities for trade externally. And even on a fundamental level, that Palestinians have taxes collected from them, but they go to Israel, and then it's up to Israel to decide how those are distributed back to the Palestinian Authority or other governments' authorities. So this idea of a two-state solution is, in fact, a null point, because the two-state solution has been dead for some time.
So what are the better alternatives to a two-state solution? And if so, are any of those ideas viable at the moment?
Well, it's interesting, because I think there was a hope at one point that what could happen is a single state, but a state where there were equal rights and privileges afforded to both Palestinians and Israeli citizens. The challenge at the moment is that the current government in Israel is seemingly quite unwilling to even entertain that idea. But in effect, what you have is a de facto single state by virtue of the way that the occupation is unfolded. The problem, of course, is that under this occupation, you don't have that equal level of rights afforded. And that's where I think there will need to be international pressure applied to upholding those rights and the recognition that we are dealing with a single state, a single occupying power, and that occupying power has certain responsibilities to all its residents.
So could the wave of recognition of Palestine at the moment possibly lay the foundation for greater action to be taken in the event of human rights abuses, territory grabs, or increased settlement in the West Bank?
I don't think so, because those fundamental issues have been occurring for, as I said, over kind of 5 decades now. And there have been numerous denouncements of these kinds of activities without real meaningful action. So the declaration of a Palestinian state, where the kind of viability of that state is really being undermined on a daily basis, makes it, in my view, a very meaningless exercise. And I think what really needs to be done is to think about examples of other states where you have had clearly a governing power that has systematically sought to undermine the rights of some of its citizens, and where through efforts that are kind of more strict and measured, such as sanctions, you get states to kind of shift their behaviors.
In response to the number of countries that are beginning to recognize Palestine, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has vowed to retaliate, namely through increasing Israel's annexation efforts and settlement building in the West Bank. If the recognition of Palestine is mainly just symbolic, why would Netanyahu be reacting so strongly to it?
Well, as I said, I think because the intention all along has been to kill off this idea of a two-state solution. I think as I said, it's all just a point of posturing. And in fact, what's interesting is these declarations of recognition of Palestine as a state in some ways seem to be emboldening the Netanyahu government, not just Netanyahu, but some of the other members of his cabinet, to argue that, well, we need to respond even stronger then, and we need to totally eliminate even that idea that that word can be uttered. So I think there's actually a risk that by kind of the attention being focused on the two-state solution, we're missing the bigger picture here, which is that we need to be thinking about, does a two-state solution, is it viable, and will it lead to conditions of coexistence and peace, which is, I think, what the international community would like. But to achieve that, it's going to require a recognition that we need to think beyond this imaginary of a two-state solution that no longer exists.
Most of the countries announcing their recognition of Palestine are also doing this under the pretense that the Palestinian Authority is put at the head of a Palestinian state. But what powers does the Palestinian Authority have, and what involvement do they have in the occupied Palestinian territories at the moment?
Well, the Palestinian Authority is being systematically undermined by the Israeli government on a daily basis in something as simple as I mentioned, collection of tax revenue. So the Palestinian Authority is actually reliant on the Israeli state to fund its operation, you know, to pay its teachers, to pay its government officials, to pay its doctors. And you know, as we've seen over the last 2 years, Israel has used those tax revenues as a way to kind of hold ransom to the Palestinian Authority over to get it to do what it wants. But you know, it also transcends to even security. Israel has the right to enter into the Palestinian Authority lands and take over security and to work alongside the Palestinian Authority to illegally detain or arrest Palestinians on Palestinian land. So there are a lot of people who live within Palestine who actually see the Palestinian Authority as effectively a puppet of the Israeli administration.
Bringing the discussion back here to Aotearoa, do you think that Winston Peters will make the decision to recognize Palestine at the UN this week?
My gut feeling is he probably will. I think that what we're seeing at the moment is that most of the allies of New Zealand and the ones that New Zealand has signed up to with prior declarations about what's happening in Gaza, they have all now gone through this process of recognition of the Palestinian state. But I think what we haven't seen, you know, particularly from governments like Canada or the UK, who are also continuing to finance the ongoing conflict in Gaza, is a strong commitment to ending those financial relations, those financial ties, to imposing sanctions on the state of Israel. And I think what would be more interesting would be for Winston Peters to stand up on Saturday and say that New Zealand is going to pursue a process of putting in place sanctions against Israel for clear violations of human rights. And that's something that we're hearing now from the opposition parties here in Aotearoa.
So what kind of a message do you think Winston Peters' current reluctance to recognize Palestinians sends to not just Palestinians and supporters of Palestine here in Aotearoa, but also the international community at large?
I mean, I think, unfortunately, I think it does undermine this view that New Zealand is a strong protector of the rules-based order, that it stands up for international human rights. These are kind of narratives that New Zealand has long had as sources of pride in its independent foreign policy. And I think what people are probably wondering is this a signal of New Zealand perhaps trying to sidle up to the United States and possibly acting out of fear of any sort of retaliation from the current U.S. administration? So I think the questions that people are probably asking are, have we lost our independence and our ability to stand up for an international rules-based order?
And that was a senior lecturer in critical studies in education at the University of Auckland, Dr. Ritesh Shah, speaking to us about why the current wave of countries recognizing Palestine is largely seen as symbolic and what the international community should do next. We'll be right back after a quick break. Keep it on the B.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.